classic talk, which means I've given it before, but it just seems to be need to be given again. They always tell me, don't tell them that because they won't remember it anyway. So. But, you know, the idea, the word mother conjures up many different thoughts and memories of many different kinds of experiences for each one of us. And for most, you know, these are pleasant thoughts of caring, loving, forgiving, compassionate person who instills in us a sense of confidence, respect for ourselves and each other, and sort of a sense of joy for life. But there are, you know, there are those memories of mom preparing your favorite meal. Anybody have those memories? You know, washing your dirty underwear, making sure you have a good lunch pack when you go off to school or home, you know, work or whatever it might be. There are memories of being cared for when you were sick and given encouragement when you were down. And for some, mom was a friend that you could talk to about anything. For every one of us, there has been a mother figure of some sort, and I think that's what Nancy was saying this morning, that we can turn to when we, you know, when we need to be loved. Ann Taylor, the English writer, wrote in her poetry, she wrote, "Who ran to help me when I fell, and would some pretty story tell, or kiss the place to make it well? My mother." You know? Abraham Lincoln wrote, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They will cling to me all the days of my life." Elizabeth Stone wrote, "Making a decision to have a child is momentous. It's to decide forever to have your heart go walking around outside of you." Isn't that powerful? George Washington wrote, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." And an anonymous person wrote, "Nobody knows the work it takes to keep the home together. Nobody knows the steps it takes. Nobody knows but a mother." Yeah. And for the men in here in this room now and the men who are listening online, this is from an unknown author. "The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother." Yeah. And I believe moms are God's toughest but same time tenderest creatures, because our Creator had to fashion a being who would have to be able to love at every level of the human experience, from the most compassionate and understanding to the toughest and most demanding. And God knew it would have to be a being who could inspire us to discover and tap into our own indwelling divine potential. And we may not have always understood what was being done or said to us by our mother, but in a cosmically uncanny way, all that a mother did was always something we needed to discover within ourselves. It was always being to inspire us to look inside of ourselves. And there was always a deeper sense of ourselves that we needed to be pushed towards, even when the mother didn't know that that's what she was doing. You get what I'm saying? All right? And so, you know, we've got this divine gift within us, a divine gift of love, and our mothers have always been trying to help us to discover that. And some may be thinking, well, I don't remember my mother doing anything particularly significant to help me discover my innate divine potential. But what we need to understand, and I think I say this in a certain way in almost every talk, what we need to understand is that every encounter, every experience has embedded in it the potential for us to discover the spiritual sense of our own being. I don't care what it is, all right? However, whether or not we take advantage of the transformation that each experience has to offer is another story. I believe that no matter what you experienced with your mother or mother figure, whatever it has been, there was embedded in that experience the opportunity to discover more of who you really are and what you are really made of, all right? Life is always trying to push us in that direction. And through our, you know, through our lives, whether we realize it or not, we continuously are trying to just answer that eternal question, what am I here to accomplish, all right? We're also always trying to negotiate the question, what is the right and loving thing to do or not do? And no matter how hard we try, we do not always get it right. As parents, we have fallen short of the ideals our children had of us. just as our children have fallen short of the ideals we had of them. However, the real quest may not be one of reaching ideals, but rather changing our perception of what those ideals really need to be. And as we have said in many lessons before, experience changes our perception. Experience changes our ideals. And for our kids right here, right now, might have thought certain things about us, but now they hear those same things coming out of their mouth to their kids. You know, as your experience changes, your ideals change. What's important to you changes, all right? But it is cosmically true that you are most likely having the very experience that your soul needs to move you to the next level. Did everybody just hear what I'm saying? No matter what you're going through, your soul has somehow brought that into your life because you needed that to push you to the next experience. And there are, you know, things in our lives that we can change, but as we all know, there are things in our lives we just cannot. And whether we like it or not, it is usually the things we cannot change that offer us the greatest opportunity to discover more about our divine potential. And because if we could change it, you know, what did Jesus say? Father, take this cup from me, meaning I don't want to have to go through this. But it was just a comma in the sentence. No, not my will, but thine be done, all right? And so those experiences that we have, that's what they're always trying to do, is awaken us to who we are, trying to show us how to rise above and expand the state of mind that has us struggling with the circumstances we're going through. Our ideals change as our interpretations, reactions, and perceptions change. So at any moment in time, we are the sum total of every experience we've ever had combined with our emotional interpretation and reaction to those experiences. And each of us is always grasping for straws, as the slogan goes, trying to do our best to be our best. And each time something happens in our lives, we take our best shot at dealing with it. However, if we deal with the events in our lives from a position of fear and anxiety and condemnation and resentment and jealousy and mistrust, we create a mental state that establishes that method of reacting to everything that's going to happen to us in the future. And if everybody can remember, we always talk about Dr. Joe when you talk about the brain. So if you're always coming at life from fear and jealousy and all these different things, your brain is actually creating synapses so that you always are coming at life that way. You follow me? All right? But if through our spiritual studies, we can learn to approach our lives with faith and love and joy, you know, and a sense of peace, regardless of what the circumstance is, we recreate ourselves and establish a very different and harmonious state of mind. So even if your mind has you always sort of in a pessimistic viewpoint, you can change that. You can change it to where you're always coming at life with joy and peace and happiness, no matter what you're going through. You know, it's like the millionaire who somebody says, what it was like to become a millionaire. He says, I was a millionaire when I was sleeping on park benches. Because that was where my mind was. It's where my consciousness was. It wasn't the fact that I was sleeping on a park bench. It was that in my mind, I was a millionaire. And because I had that thought, that is what I became. So again, I repeat, it's important that we understand that our mental state, our consciousness, is the sum total of every event and circumstance we've experienced in our lives. And our subsequent reaction to those experiences is what's created who we are today. And this is the personal history that creates the inner condition that colors our perceptions, emotions, our behaviors, and consequently how our life unfolds. All right? Now, quite often, we may ask, well, how can I change my history? Well, we can't. But we can change the way we think about our history, which would change the negative impact it may be having on us right now. Matter of fact, the Course in Miracles says that if you can forgive in this moment, it forgives in the past, okay? And so in other words, we can learn to transcend our history, rise above it, break free from the bonds it has on us. Our history has us trapped into believing that we are our history, when in reality, we are boundless, unlimited, free. Jesus says, when you know the truth will set you free, all right? So to transcend our history means to exist above and independent of those things which have occurred in our lives, which are holding us mentally, emotionally, in bondage to the past. It's like that story I was telling you about the Deep Space Nine episode, I don't know if you remember, where the captain, these high involved light beings, kept bringing the captain back to the point where the Borg was killing his wife. And he says, "Why you keep bringing me back?" They said, "We're not bringing you back here. This is where you live." All right? And we find a lot of times that we're still living in those past situations we've gone through. So it doesn't mean to deny that they happen. You do not want to deny your history because as you evolve in consciousness, you begin to understand the treasure of opportunities for transformation that were presented to you in the past that you didn't understand at the time. You get it? So now you can look back on those things. You go, wow, I was going through this trauma with those things I was going through, but those things were designed to help me to grow, help me to evolve, help me to become something different, okay? So you do not want to deny. Instead, you want to learn how to reinterpret and transcend. So to transcend our history means to break the ties that emotionally bind us to it so we can be free to become something greater because of what we experienced. Did everybody just catch that? Okay. So to break the ties that bind us, we need to discover the truth that lies within us. So we ask ourselves, what is the truth about me? Am I my feelings and my emotions? Am I my thoughts and behaviors? Am I the story that I keep telling myself and others about me? Okay. What combinations of things in my past are still determining who I think I am today? Well, the first step to breaking free of your past is to realize and affirm that as spiritual beings that sprang directly from the mind of God, you do not inherit anything that is not of God and not of love. So anything you're feeling that's unloving, unkind, unforgiving, that's something that evolved out of your own thinking, and it's not the truth of who you really are. And see, that's the biggest challenge in this whole new thought thing, is to realize that unless I can perceive myself as being the eachness of the allness, the individual expression of the God idea, if I can't do that, I'm still living in a realm that's really an illusion. You get that? Well, we get it intellectually. You get what I'm saying? But we still are feeling the feeling of those things we're trying to get ourselves past. So the second step is to realize that everything that has happened or is happening in your life was merely an opportunity for you to discover something magical, something miraculous, something transformative about yourself. You know, it's like I tell you the story about when I was struggling with that back issue for a six. I was in level 10 pain. And I kept saying to myself, I can't wait to get back. And it kept up until it helped me to understand you're not going back. The purpose of this was not for you to go back. It's for you to settle down and understand what you need to go forward. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And so, you know, life is never really about the other person. It's never really about the circumstance. It's never really about the situation. Life is always about you. It's always about me. Life is about showing you what you are capable of when you're willing to uncover and reveal the truth about yourself. And when you experience anger, you know, getting your feelings hurt, feeling emotionally wounded, that's not really who you are. Yes, it's your ego's perception of who you are. Your ego will say, I'm hurt. I'm jealous. I'm mad. But that's not who you really are. It's not who you really are designed to be. So you at least want to get to the point where when you say, you know, I'm really hurt by what happened. I'm really angry. At least get to the point where saying, that's not really me. That's just the way I feel. I mean, at least to acknowledge that. You know what I'm saying? So the first step is to acknowledge that what you're feeling is not the truth of who you are. At least when you get to that point, the ego is going to try to convince you, go, oh, yeah, that's who you are. That's who you are. And it's going to try to make you. And then you say, no. Right? So at least that's the first step to awakening. But when you're in that mindset that said, no, what all these emotions that I'm feeling, this is who I am, you're still asleep. You know, it's like I told my students, we just finished a semester. And I asked them to share with me what, this is a marketing class. I asked them to share with me what did they learn in the past 15 weeks. They said a little bit about marketing, but the most of what they talked about was how their lives changed. All right? And Roderick was in my, he came to my class, right, Roderick? Roderick came and talked to the class and shared even more, you know, spiritual, you know, dynamic information with them. So that's the key, is really, you know, getting in touch with who you are. So remember, our whole thing is about waking up. And, you know, this may be difficult to grasp, but from the viewpoint of spiritual growth, there are no bad experiences and no good experiences. There are just experiences, all right? The purpose of each experience is to offer us infinite possibilities for incredible growth, transformation, and self-discovery. Now, think about that. Every experience you have is for incredible growth and just transformation. Everything, whether you get cut off in traffic or win the lottery or whatever it might be, okay? So, you know, in the context of today's lesson, with that same idea, our parents make up a great deal of our history. And mothers in particular are a great part of that history, because it is possible to have no history with your father, but it is impossible to have no history with your mother. Does everybody get that? Okay? You know, because if you do not remember it, you lived within her for a period of time. You shared several months of history where you felt her every mood and emotion. You may be have dreamed her every dream. You could even feel and hear her thoughts about you, making your, you know, time in your womb the first connection you had with absolute love. All right? So now that we are no longer in the womb, we are unconsciously striving to reconnect with the source of life itself. You get what I'm saying? Because you spent that first 9 months, you were connected to the source of life itself. Now you're out of the womb and you're going, where is that source of life? And so you reach for it in all different mannerisms, okay? And to make this divine connection, we need to learn how to listen to our heart instead of our head and process our experiences with our soul instead of our ego-driven emotions. Let me say that again. Okay, so listen, to make this divine connection, we need to learn to listen with our heart instead of our head and process our experiences with our soul instead of our ego-driven emotions. Okay, so when we learn to listen with our heart, we can hear the cry for love from another person's anger. We can hear the cry for help from another person's defensiveness. When we learn to listen with our heart, we will know that any perceived attack on us is a sign of deep emptiness that needs to be filled with our love. It's like St. Francis, when his journey went into a temple, and back in those days, everybody wasn't allowed in the temple. So the caretaker for the temple came and grabbed him and drug him by his neck and threw him into the street. And his assistant was outside, and St. Francis stood up and gave this man a look that brought him to his knees in tears. And his assistant said, "What did you do?" He says, "His reaction showed that he was empty, and I just stood there and filled him with my love." Can you imagine? So somebody does something to you, and you probably have some experiences you could tell me right now, right? And you want to understand that what they were saying to you was, "I need you to fill me with your love." All right? And how often has a mother and a father demonstrated these qualities? Parents, think back on times when your child may have attacked you verbally, defied you, ignored you, disappointed you, seemed to be ungrateful, and you had to readjust yourself, readjust your emotions, readjust your attitude, readjust your sense of your very self, knowing you would never allow any other person to treat you that way. But this is your child. So you readjust and you pour more love into the spiritual being whom you have brought into the world. Who knows what I'm talking about? All right? Every parent. And for those of you who do not have children, think about a time you may have verbally attacked your parents, defied them, ignored them, disappointed them, did not show that you were grateful, but somehow they readjusted themselves and continued to express love towards you anyway. All right? The mystical question is, what do we learn from those experiences? Whether you are the parent dealing with your child or you're the child dealing with your parent? What did you learn from those experiences? And again, even in the time, if it was just pure emotion, ego emotion, now that you are more spiritually evolved, I just blessed every one of you, right? More spiritually evolved, right? Yeah, you can look back on those situations and realize that that was an opportunity for transformation, okay? Well, we were given the opportunity to learn from our children and from our parents. We learned how to continuously pour love into another person no matter what. So that family situation, if you go back to Maslow, you know, physiological needs, safety needs, and then this idea of belongingness or love, okay? At that level, we can begin to understand that all of these interactions we have with people is about learning how to express love. That's the whole thing, right? Remember, Jesus said, the greatest commandment is what? Love one another, okay, as I have loved you. So that's the key to this process. So Metaphysical Bible Dictionary describes Mary as the mother, the soul of Jesus. Mother represents the divine feminine, the feeling, the affectionate side of our soul. It is said that without the depths of the feeling quality in our soul, we would be like empty vessels. We would have form, but nothing to express. All right? We would not be able to rise up and conquer with love. Whereas our ears quite often listen from an unconscious defensive position. Did everybody just say it? An unconscious defensive position. So if somebody's talking to you, it's almost like you're getting ready to defend yourself, and you don't even realize you're getting ready to do that. You're conjuring up what you're going to say, how you're going to respond before it even comes up. All right? So your ears listen from that position. But your heart, on the other hand, gives you the strength and the courage to listen without being offended or hurt, because we are protected by a source, a reservoir, a fountain of love that runs so deep within us that it could never run out. That's why Jesus said to the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, if you only knew the gift of God, that is so powerful, isn't it? If you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked for it and a fountain of love would have sprung up within you. So a mother's love is a gift from God. God is the omnipotent force that fires our soul with mother's love. The Jews have a sweet saying. They say, God could not be everywhere, so he made mothers. And an unknown poet said, a mother is a mother still, the holiest thing alive. So I end with these words from J.D. Burns, words we can remember when we find ourselves in a situation that's causing us to struggle with life's many challenges, causing us to feel that our love is faltering or withering away. Just think about this. As trustful as a child who looks up in her mother's face, and all of her little griefs and fears she forgets in her mother's glancing embrace, so do I to thee, my Lord and Savior, look and in thy face can see the love that strengthens, protects me with that loving grace. Amen.